Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. I am your host, Kelly Patterson, and I am joined today by my co-host, Maria Bailey. If you are just joining us, we are talking to our guest, Christina Michelle, about self-care. So, Christina, what prompted your personal journey to self-care?
Well, I would say 10 years ago, I was actually engaged to be married, and it was the kind of relationship that I didn't intend for it to get so serious, and it did. And I just kind of was going along with it. And before I knew it, we were headed to the altar. And I was like, oh my gosh, wait, what am I doing? And I had all these red flags popping up for me in regards to, you know, this impending marriage. But I just felt so obligated, and I felt kind of stuck, like I had to do this because we had already invested all this time, and you know, his family was involved and my family was involved. And there just came a point where I decided to end it. And that point was when I was actually on the way to our wedding. So he lived in Jamaica and we were in a long distance relationship, and we were going to actually have a destination wedding in Jamaica. And the day that I left for the wedding, I just had so much anxiety. And actually leading up to that time, probably, you know, a couple weeks before, I just had this sense of dread, like if I did this, then something in me was going to die. And I didn't know what it was. I didn't know if it was going to be like a spiritual death or if it was going to be an emotional death. Like, I didn't know, but I just felt like if I did this, then, you know, I was going to be losing a lot more than I had to gain. And I hate to make it sound like he was a terrible person, because he wasn't, but the relationship wasn't for me. And so I ended up not going through with it. And this was when I still lived in Los Angeles, and I, you know, went to the airport and I got on the plane and I actually forgot my bags. And my mom reminded me of this the last time we were talking about it. She was actually in town, because she was coming. She was going to fly, you know, in for the wedding a couple of days later. And she had dropped me off at the airport, and I got out and my head was in such a fog. I had left my bags in the car, and she's calling me like, you left your suitcase in the car. And I was like, oh, okay. And I came back and I got it and checked in and got on the plane. And I was just sitting there, and I just clearly remember thinking, like, what if I just didn't go? You know, like, what if I chose myself and was like, I'm not going to go through with this. And that's basically what I did. I got off the plane, and when I did that, that pretty much was the end of the relationship. You know, it took a little while for him to understand why I did what I did. But ultimately he did. And that was the beginning of my journey, I would say, to self-care, because when I did that, it was so liberating. Like, it was hurtful. I didn't want to hurt him. I didn't want to hurt our families. But at that point, pretty much everything opened up for me in terms of just living a life that's more aligned with who I really am and who I really want it to be. I was working in finance for an aerospace company at the same time that I was in that relationship. And if you know me, you know that I am a people person. I am a talker. I'm a creative person. I hardly ever do anything exactly the same, you know, two times. And I was in accounting, so there wasn't a whole lot of talking to people and, you know, connecting with people. There was hardly any room for creativity. And I just was like, okay, I hate this job too. So not only was I kind of like feeling like the life was being sucked out of me in my relationship, I was being drained by what I was doing at work. And so I started thinking, like, what do I really want to do? And then that's when I heard about life coaching. And so I kind of started looking into that. And long story short, I decided to get certified in it. And it was maybe 2 years after I got certified that I started coaching one-on-one. And I ended up leaving my 9-to-5 at the aerospace company. And so that was like a whole nother level of like choosing myself. And so, you know, like I said, it was kind of a process, you know, but I would say it all started with that relationship when I realized that I didn't have to do it just because this is what we said we were going to do. If ultimately I knew that this wasn't going to be good for me, that I could at any point decide to go a different direction. And so that kind of snowballed and spilled over into every area of my life.
Perfect. I love that. That is such an interesting story. And it's like the ultimate self-care of like, choosing like a brand new life path. Like it's not like baking muffins. Like it's like choosing yourself and like a brand new life. That's awesome.
Christina, can you share with us some of the things that you do for self-care?
I'm kind of a person who's really passionate about learning new things. So to me, that's practicing self-care when I'm like reading a book about something that I don't know much about or taking a workshop. I love workshops and seminars. I actually just took one a couple weeks ago with another coach here in town. And she did one on journaling and I got a lot out of it. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. So that filled me up, you know, to learn some new journaling techniques. And I like taking assessments. I probably have taken every assessment there is known to man, like the love languages and the DISC assessment. And like, oh my goodness, just all of them. Like, what are your spiritual gifts assessments? And I recently took the people code and it tells you like what color you are, like red, green. No. It's red, blue, white, and yellow. And each color has a different set of personality traits. And so I learned that I was a yellow, which is mainly their main priority in life is fun. And that sounds like me to a certain extent. But I also learned that my secondary color was white, which was the peace giver, peace bringer. And so I kind of learned about that. So anyway, doing things like that, that's self-care for me because I like to learn as much as I can about myself and to learn from different angles. Exploring things, traveling and, you know, haven't been able to do that at all since, you know, about this time last year. But normally I would be going somewhere, you know, it doesn't have to be far and exotic, but I think just getting outside of your everyday routine and environment and just seeing different people and seeing different things, experiencing different food. Let's see here. I think taking care of yourself emotionally is really important too. I have really gotten better at communicating my feelings. And, you know, it's that thing when somebody like, or let's say you're in a relationship and your partner says, what's wrong? And you're like, nothing. For me, self-care is being like, okay, this is what's wrong. Instead of saying, I'm fine, it's like, no, okay, I'm not fine. I'm not fine, and this is why I'm not fine, and what we gonna do about it? You know, kind of thing. It's like just being more true to yourself and asking for what you need. That's a big thing too, you know, instead of just hoping that you'll, you know, people will just understand what you want or what you need, being able to advocate for yourself. And doing it in your friendships and, you know, with clients, with at work, with your boss, coworkers, I think definitely just being able to be okay with asking for help or asking for, you know, to get your needs met. And then I would say doing shadow work and shadow work is, it's the stuff that, you know, I'm listing this under my ways that I practice self-care. But I think it's also important to communicate that self-care isn't always necessarily pleasant. You know, yeah, I think, yeah, it's not always the manicures and pedicures and, you know, like girls' night out. Right. Sometimes self-care is really like looking at your stuff.
Right.
And, you know, the stuff that we just kind of want to keep in the shadows or keep hidden, but, you know, looking at it, like the aspects of ourselves that we don't maybe like so much. And instead of denying it or like stuffing it or hiding it, like bringing it out into the light and being like, okay, what is going on with this? Like what's at the root of this and working through that.
I heard sorry to interrupt, but I heard someone tell me that you can tell how good someone is at self-care by asking them when was the last time they went to the dentist. And when I heard that, I was like, ugh, like, so what if it's been 18 months? My teeth don't hurt, you know, but that's like a perfect example of, you know, why wait until you're in pain to go to the dentist, you know? And it's kind of one of those things where it's like, yeah, you're right. Like that is taking care of myself and going to the dentist and going to the gynecologist and going to, you know, all those things. It's not fun, but it's still self-care. So that's such an interesting point that you made, that self-care is not always, you know, massages and pedicures. Like sometimes it's therapy and the dentist. I love that.
That's right. And another key one is spirituality. Whatever your faith is, whatever higher power you connect with, I think it's really important to cultivate that relationship. So I'm always working on spending more time in prayer and meditation and vision boards. Maria mentioned that earlier, and that's something that I do at least once a year, maybe every 6 months if I really feel like it. And vision boards are such a beautiful act of self-care because it gives you the space to dream. And we can get so stuck in reality and so bogged down with the logistics of how we think that things are going to happen for us. But doing a vision board just gives you the opportunity to let go of the how and just open yourself up to the what. Like, what do you want to be possible for you? And you don't have to worry about the how. Just put it out there. So that's been a really big self-growth and self-care tool for me. Another one is, of course, the yoni steaming that I mentioned earlier. I think that yoni steaming is one of the ultimate forms of self-care that I know about, which is why I started offering the service. When I first learned about it, I was a little bit hesitant, you know, to tell people that I was interested in doing yoni steaming. But the more I learned, the more it helped me. I used to have I hope I can say this, I hope it's okay, but I used to have the worst, I'll just say, time of the month, every single month. And when I learned that I can actually heal my body with herbs and water and create a steam that will correct those issues for me, it was a complete game changer. And I was moved to offer the service to other women. And so I got certified and I learned how to blend herbs. I learned how to work with the natural plants that Earth gives us as a gift and to help heal my body. And now I'm excited that I'm able to help other women do that too. And I would say the last big one for me is floating or sensory deprivation. We don't have anything like that here in Juneau. I would love to start that service if nobody else does. I'm totally down for it. But sensory deprivation is when you go into a tank of warm water. The water is heated up to about 98 degrees, so it matches the temperature of the surface of your skin. There's about 800 pounds of salt in this water, so it's very buoyant. And you get in the tank, and you just immediately float. As soon as you lay back, you're just like, poop, and you rise to the surface of the water and you're in complete silence. So there's no stimuli to distract you. It's just you and your thoughts. And it's like you're just floating on air. That is a space where you just get to process through your feelings. You get to do some dream time. Sometimes, you know, I even fall asleep and I try to get a good float in whenever I travel, you know, Seattle, Florida, you know, LA. I've done floating in a lot of different cities. Pretty much anywhere that I go that they have a flotation center, I make an appointment while I'm there because it's just one of the best ways to relax and it's very healing for your body too. So,
yeah, those are my self-care practices.
I love those. I know we talked earlier about, you know, three of the main reasons why people struggle with self-care. How would you help someone or what advice would you give to someone who was struggling to find their own self-care routine?
That's a really good question. The best advice that I can give is to become your own best friend. And I know that that may sound a little self-indulgent, but I'll give you a perfect example. A couple weeks ago, my mom called and she said that she had pulled a muscle in her back and she was just going to go home and get some rest. And so I said, okay. But then the next day, she was still in excruciating pain. And I told her, Mom, you got to go to the doctor. Just go get some pain meds, do something, like have them take a look at it. And she's like, no, I'm just going to grin and bear it. I'll be okay. And I could hear the pain in her voice. And I was like, Mom, if I called you and I told you 2 days in a row that I was in excruciating pain, what would you tell me to do? And she said, I got it. You're right. And she made an appointment, she got right in, and she got the attention that she needed. And they hooked her up with a physical therapist and gave her some pain meds. And it's been 2 weeks. She's had a couple massages, you know, and she's now right as rain. She's right back to normal. You know, so it's that kind of thing where whatever advice you would give to the people that you love the most in your life, take that advice for yourself. I don't know about you, but I've never won an award for just grinning and bearing it. And so I don't know what we're trying to prove, especially as women, by just toughing it out. But we don't have to do that all the time. There's probably times where we do have to just tough things out and there's nothing that we can do about it. But if we can do something to make our life better, to make our health better, to feel better, then we should do that. The other thing that I would say is to just start small. If you're not used to practicing self-care, then it might be a little bit uncomfortable. And again, it might feel a little self-indulgent, but it starts with knowing your worthiness, knowing that you're more than worthy of taking care of yourself. It's an investment. Think of self-care as an investment in yourself. We understand investment and return, sowing and reaping. And so when you pour into yourself, you're going to reap dividends from that. And not just you, but the other people in your life. And as much as you want to give to others, you're going to have more to give when you yourself are filled up, when you're running on your optimal health, your optimal, you know, mental health, emotional health. And I'm not saying that I'm always at 100%, but I am conscious of the fact that I do give out a lot. So I have to make sure that I stay filled up myself so that I continue to be able to give.
Okay. Well, perfect. Christina, we are so glad that you decided to join us and that you let us switch places with you and interview you this week instead of you interviewing us. It has been a pleasure. I love hearing about your life and your stories and your passion for women. And I just am so grateful for what you're doing in this community and with the women in this community, especially. So just keep doing what you're doing, girl. We will see you next week. Have a wonderful day.